We're teaching on the Spirit of seeing and knowing, and we're talking about gifts of the Spirit. We've had, you know, demonstrations of the Spirit, certain things along this line. But one of the things that the Lord spoke to me this week about kept coming to me about going over and teaching some things along this line, because we can teach and talk about the gifts of the Spirit because we want them in operation. But you need to understand that they are gifts of the Spirit. They are come in contact, not through the natural. They're come in contact through the Spirit. That's how you get them. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. We pray that God's will would be done in earth like it is in heaven. In other words, we want what's in the spiritual realm to manifest into this realm. That's what we want. But it don't manifest in this realm just because you want it here. You need to understand the realms of the Spirit. There's laws of the Spirit realm. And you must obey those laws and those rules. They're not physical. See, this is where the church has a terrible time on the areas of divine healing. Because people want divine healing. They want God's divine intervention. And they're trying to get it physically. You can't get divine healing physically. If you want physical healing, you'll have to go to a doctor. A doctor can only offer you physical healing. God doesn't have any. We know that by the ministry of Jesus. Jesus never, you know, took patients in and did their blood pressure and all those things. There's nothing wrong with having doctors, but he didn't heal in that manner. So if we want something in from the spirit realm, we have to know how the spirit realm operates. We got to learn that. See, it's just like, you know, there's things, you know, that when the Lord spoke to Kenneth E. Hagin years ago and said to him, he said, concerning divine healing, he said, divine healing is without any kind of physical aid at all. There's no kind of physical. It's not, you know, a doctor. It's not those things. It's not any kind of stuff like that. Divine healing is completely dealing with God. God's healing. Now, he said if a person goes to the doctor, he wants to help the person, and we're supposed to pray for a quick recovery. But now you need to understand this. If you want a quick recovery, you're going to have to do something spiritually. You can't get it physically. If you go to the doctor and you're going to the doctor and you don't have faith over in the area for something better than the doctor has, and you don't specifically believing certain things, you're not going to see them happen just because you wanted to. God doesn't intervene. You have to have it on the inside of you. It'll manifest from the inside out. That's how it does. It's something on the inside. See, it's what's in the realm of the Spirit, which is the unseen realm. It's an unseen realm. That unseen realm we want is in the unseen. How do you do that? Well, we'll talk somewhat about these things today. One of the things, though, we dealt in, and really, I never really got much past the first verse of 1 Corinthians 12. I read down through those 1 through 7. But I never really got past the first verse, because the first verse says, now concerning spiritual gifts, he said, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And I said about this, is the word gifts is not in there. That was added by the translators. What he's talking about concerning spiritual things. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual things. Because he doesn't goes on to talk about it. He's not talking about just these gifts of the Spirit here. There's all kind of gifts of the Spirit. He goes on. Why? There's ministry gifts. There's all kind of gifts of the Spirit. You need to have to understand how the spirit realm operates and what the gifts and operations are in that realm. You have to understand that. See, most churches you'll go to today, and even Spirit-filled churches, they teach psychology. You know, they teach you psychology. You know, just be a good person. I bury good people that couldn't get a thing from God. They were good. They weren't bad people, but they didn't know how to operate over in the areas of the spirit realm. You have to learn how to operate in the realm. It's a realm and it has laws and rules. It's an unseen realm. That's what makes it so hard, because most Christians are fleshly. We're going to read about that today and talk about that, because we want to see and feel first. We want to have something that's tangible that we can touch. That's not the kingdom of God. That ain't how it works. I want something I can touch or I can feel, you know. You know, let me just say, if I'm believing something outside of what the doctor said to do, then I got to act outside of what the doctor said to do. And if I don't, I'm only going to have my actions. See, what we want to do is we want to follow everything that man says and at the same time have everything what God says. You know, I mean, Wanda can sit and tell you when Wanda had her operation and we believe certain things. What I did, and Wanda even said, and you can ask her, she told me, you were really a big help to me because you wouldn't let me sit down. You wouldn't let me, you made me do stuff. Why? Because we were believing for certain things and we agreed on certain things. And I'm no pet powders. So if you're a powder, this pastor will not pet you. I might smack you, but I ain't going to pet you. I ain't going to let you feel comfortable following your flesh. It's not my job. Your mama might have done that for you and spoiled you and ruined you, but I'm not. If you want something spiritually, you're going to have to live like the unseen is real. You must. There is no other way. There is no other way to live in the spirit realm. You can't hook up with it any other way. You got to live like that realm is real and more real than the realm that you live in. You need to understand this. The realm that you live in right now, this chair here. Now this, you'll say this is real. This thing's actually, according to scripture, is temporary. This is temporal. That's temporal. Oh, we think it's just a permanent fixture. No, it's not. It's temporal. The only thing that is not temporal is the realm of the Spirit. That is permanent. That is eternal. God's kingdom is eternal. See, what you see in this realm here, anything can be changed. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. I want you to think about it. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. See, anything can be changed. See, we got to come. You know, I was so dumb when I was a young Christian. I used to think that was true. We were so stupid. We thought it was true. And then we got around all the religious people who have been born again for years, and they all try to talk you out of that. Well, now you got to use wisdom, and you can't. Yeah, yeah. Leave faith and follow the flesh. Yeah, that's following wisdom. That's wisdom. We were so dumb, we just went along. And I, you know, it's just, you know, when I sit back and look at the things that I did and God bless me and the things that happened, you know, I just, you know, hey, this stuff's real and I'm going to follow it. And stuff just took place, just happened. But we get over and then we get educated and we get into the mental realm. Then we start thinking things out. And they'll just read you right to the land of unbelief. And after a while, you have all these nice, wonderful religious things that you believe in. You think it's absolutely wonderful, but they don't produce a thing. They produce nothing. And you just keep sitting around saying, well, they're true and they're really nice. And there must be some reason God's not doing it. Then all of a sudden you form a religion. Now you make your own religion because Christianity ain't working. So you fake a Christianity. Well, God has a reason for not doing this. He's trying to teach me something. God's not healing me because he's trying to humble me or something. A good religious thing. Why isn't God doing it? Why? We get over there, begin to question God. Why his kingdom's not true? It's not real. He don't respond to me quickly. No, none of that's happening. So it must be God because it couldn't be me. I'm perfect. I'm wonderful. I never do anything wrong. I'm just, you know. So God must be messed up. And so for some reason, he's keeping it from me. And so then we start our own religious. We call it Christianity, yet it is the religion of unbelief. It's what it is. God don't ever deal with you about your unbelief. He comes and talks to me. You just ain't listening. He discusses it with me. Like Mike said, he went to the woodshed. And I said, yeah, you had to wait your turn because I was in there. I was in the woodshed. I've spent a lot of time in there lately. So just, hallelujah. Correcting things, getting things corrected. I need things corrected. I want them corrected. Hallelujah. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be one of those people 20 years saying I believe in something that nothing ever happens and faking like I'm in some kind of faith and thinking other people believe it. Come on. If it ain't working, we want it to change. And so I've told the Lord, whatever he needs to do, whatever it needs to be done, I need to be changed. Let me know. I want to change. But we need to understand this realm of the Spirit. And to operate in these gifts of the Spirit, they operate through your spirit. They don't operate through your mind or your body. Now, you participate in them. But that isn't their source doesn't come from there. They come from the inside. When gifts operate through me, it's from the inside. I have to listen on the inside. On the inside, I'll get a new intuition in my spirit. I don't get it in my brain. Lots of times, and really, I go over to operating gifts of the Spirit. I can be operating in a gift of the Spirit, and my mind is thinking something completely different. I'm thinking about, oh, what's this going on down here? My mind is in, see, you gotta, the Bible talks about the mind of the Spirit. It ain't talking about the Holy Spirit. Your spirit has a mind. It can think, it can see, it can understand. The Bible teaches it. The Bible calls it the inner man. Well, does the inner man, is he blind, deaf, and dumb? Ain't much of a man. Well, we do, we think he's dumb because we have to override him all the time with our outer man. We override him constantly. Now, I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. The rest of you just, bud, you're just hooked right up to it. But we override. Why? Because of our senses. Our senses mean so much to us. Our feelings mean so much to us. You know, you let a person get a feeling, they'll usually follow that faster than they will follow an intuition within them. Their feelings, they will follow. That's what they do. I have a good or bad feeling. Well, what do you mean by that? Are you talking about a spiritual sense or are you talking about your flesh? If your flesh is uncomfortable, that's good. That's good. Your flesh is uncomfortable. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep it uncomfortable for them. We have too much comfort in the church today because people can live comfortably and never follow God. That should not be. I'll tell you, my flesh is uncomfortable about things, but my inner man is excited about things. And the flesh will just have to come in line. That's all it's going to have to do. Now, one of the things that we need to come down is understanding the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm must become real to you. It must become real to you. It must be a reality to you, not a theory, not an idea. It is a real realm. The spirit realm is a real realm. There's one thing as a young boy. See, I had always had interest in. I believed that there was a spirit realm. I believed there was a realm that you couldn't see. I mean, as a little kid. My mom said this to me, you know, after I'd gotten born again. She said, you were really different than the rest of the kids. We had eight others in the family. She said, when you were little, she said, you talked about Jesus like he was really real. But see, I knew this. She didn't understand that. Most Christians, even spiritual Christians, God's real on pages. But he's not real in their life to make decisions and to do stuff. He's not real. It's nothing but textbook learning. Because when it comes down to acting like he's real in a situation, we'll usually follow what comes to our mind to do. And usually follow our senses. I know this today. Majority of Christians follow fleshly love. They don't follow the love of God in their heart because they'll keep pampering the people that are problem makers, just trying to keep everything nice, and we don't want any problems or troubles, and so we're trying to fix everything all the time. They don't follow the love of God, you know. Jesus, you know, guys that were troubled, Jesus told them, said, you came to the Pharisees, they complained, and he said, you know, you guys are whitewashed sepulchers. On the outside, you look great. Inside, you're full of death. I guess he didn't love. He didn't act in love. What was wrong with that Jesus? No, he didn't measure up to the love of most people because most people follow the love of the flesh. They'll keep fixing and helping the problem person and never dealing with the problem. Love never deal. The love of God will always deal with things. It'll always deal with things. Why? Because it wants to fix and repair. Love, you know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin, but it don't mean that sin ain't going to be judged. We need to understand this. We aren't trying to hurt people. We got to correct things in prophecy. If you want something to change, it's going to have to be done differently. If you just saying, well, I'm going to act in love and let them keep doing the same thing, but, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Well, what is that? We'll expect the same thing tomorrow. And so we need to get over there. Now, one of the things that we need to understand, I'm just going to read, you know, from Genesis, the first chapter. I want to read verse 26. And it says that God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we have authority over creeps. We have it right here. So we do have authority over creatures. But he said, let us make man how? In our image and our likeness. Now see, God is a ruler. What did he, if he created man in his image and his likeness, then he says, then we give this creation dominion. Why? Because God has dominion. So God said, now this is what I'm going to do. The things that I made here, I'm going to give this man dominion. Now how is he like God? Now we want to understand, it's God made in the image of God. Now, because, and we can verify that in Genesis 5:1 said, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created him, he made him in the likeness of God. The man was created in the likeness of God. Now, we know that God, dealing with God as being a spirit. Listen with John, the fourth chapter. This is in John, the fourth chapter, the Gospel of John. This is Jesus Christ speaking. So he's clarified. And it's like I've always said, you know, if Jesus made a statement, then it's the truth. And it doesn't matter to me what anybody else has to say about it. I'm not interested in any other opinions on the thing. Jesus said in John the fourth chapter, verse 23, but he said, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And how do we worship God? By just singing songs, by just doing. If it isn't from your heart, it isn't worship. I don't care what your voice is doing. It does not matter. Understand the operation of faith. I've taught it enough. The operation of faith. It's what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Your mouth talking, not connected to your heart, is wind blowing. Confessions made that are not from your heart is wind blowing. You can say all the nice things, but if it ain't in you, it produces nothing. It's called this in Scripture, idle words. And as Jesus said, you'll be judged by all your idle words. The religious church is filled with idle words. It's just talk of stuff. But it's not in their heart, and you can tell. Jesus said, by your fruit you'll know them. I can tell whether the person's producing a fruit of what they're saying. Watch their life. You'll see if they really do believe what they say and it's in their heart. You'll find out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. People who talk stupid all the time and always lousy confessions, you know what's really in them. Jesus said so! I'm in it with Jesus. I've had to change. And you need to. Glory to God. But see, we need to operate. If we're going to operate in the realm of the Spirit and we want to hook up with gifts of the Spirit, we're going to have to start hooking up into the Spirit realm. That's where they operate. They operate out of the Spirit realm. They're not mental gifts. They're not mental gifts. You won't have them just because God says He wants you to have them. You're going to have to connect with them. See, I'm a worker together with God. God has His part, but I have a part that I must play in it. And if I don't do my part, it don't work. It doesn't happen. See, and you need to understand that. We push it all. Well, if God wants it, it'll take place. Who ever thought so stupid? You know, God's willing that none should perish and all should come to repentance. I guess everybody's going to heaven because we know if God wants it, so it's going to happen. And so the guys that are preaching today, everybody goes to heaven. They must be right. Because the nincompoop church that believes, which are the people who say not everybody's going to heaven, talk exactly the opposite on the other side. That if God wants it, it's going to happen. If God forced things, He'd sure change you. He wouldn't change me till I wanted to be changed. He ain't forcing things, folks. Hadn't you noticed? He's not forcing things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're making popcorn down here. I can smell that stuff. Keep your flesh in line now. Come on. Don't let the flesh dominate you. We'll all be running downstairs. Hallelujah for the popcorn. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Think about this. We worship a God, an unseen God. And this unseen God can only be worshiped one way, from your spirit. Why? Because that's the unseen realm. The spirit man is the unseen realm. Now, we want to talk about this because we got to get over the way of thinking. One of the things that the Lord dealt with me about this is we're going to talk about here, because in 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, I want to read a scripture here because we're going to deal with man. Is to getting you over in the spirit side is to seeing about who you really are. Now you know these things and stuff, but it isn't enough to know about it. You got to get it to where this is really real to you. That it's real to you. That this is the way you work and you operate in. You got to change. You will not. God cannot help you change your outer man. The only way He'll help you change your outer man is through your spirit. Now, you can go to the psychological side and doing all kinds of things. You can do, there's certain kinds of things can help. But there will not be any kind of permanent change in an individual till you get their spirit in line with things. See, this is one of the things is why the diet stuff never works for people. Because people's hearts aren't in it. It's all flesh. It's all dealing with your flesh. But the person never changes. See, you want to change on the inside. If I hook up on the inside and get working right on the inside, I can start to change things. It's on the inside. Today we have all the, you know, doing everything on the outside. We think if we're going to have all organic stuff and stuff, we're all going to be healthy. Good luck on that one. America probably eats more organic than anybody, and our hospitals are filled to overflowing. You can't get in the suckers. Why? Because, you know, we're over in the natural. We're going to fix all the messed up problems. We're going to do it through the natural means. It ain't going to be fixed. This earth is in a decline. And it's going to continue to decline. Organic ain't going to fix it. I'm sorry. Why? There's a decline. It's imperfection. An imperfection. That area is declining. It's not getting better. You need to be able to hook up over into the realm of the permanent, unchangeable realm. Because that realm, God's kingdom, can change things for you in this realm that's imperfect, and it can bring perfection to you. But you can't get it into natural. The natural can't bring it to you. The natural won't do it. The natural can only do so much. You know, people talk about, you know, the weather, you know, and weather, global warming. The whole earth's falling apart, folks. I done read the book. It's going to get worse. You can knock out all the CO2 you want. And you know what? There's the thing called an earth called sin. And sin is just working its thing out, bringing destruction. That's what it's doing. And the devil loves it. Hey, we'll get him over on the CO2 things and those idiots will follow it. They think they're going to fix a sin problem by getting rid of CO2. Oh, how stupid. Mankind, it's like a bunch of monkeys, you know. That's why I wonder sometimes, they say people came from apes. I think that may be true. I think there is a class of being in the earth. Hallelujah. I forgive me, though. I don't want to downgrade an ape like that. I don't know what these people are. Hallelujah. But anyhow, in 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." So what God done, he's called the God of peace himself. He wants to sanctify you completely. Why? "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. God wants a complete sanctification. This is what the church world does not have. Because the church world basically is trying to have sanctification the opposite way. Body, soul, then spirit. That isn't how sanctification comes. For this reason, we'll find out the body's dead in sin. You can't bring sanctification through the body. Now, you can bring sanctification to your body through the spirit. But you can't sanctify the body without your spirit. That always comes first. The spirit always comes first. Spirit is always first. Spirit is always should always be number one with you. Spirit should be always number one. Right now in our society, the body is number one. The flesh is number one. It's on the top of the list. You look at everything that people do. I mean, everything it does, even the Christians, what they do. Geared toward the body, geared toward the flesh. It's everything about the flesh. It's all this trying to have purified lives through the flesh. Trying to have all the natural things, all this right, all this stuff. Trying to do everything through the natural to change things. And how does it work? You know, we ought to figure it out now. This thing is messed up and it ain't happening. It's not working. But we want to find the spirit, soul, and body. In other words, there's a three-part being. Now, you know, I like what Apostle Paul wrote and he concerning, and we talked about this before in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. He says it a couple of places, but I pulled this one out because I'm not going to go through all of them. But 5th chapter, verse 1, he said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, I love that, it's called a house. Your body is no more than a house. Why would we let our decisions be made by the house? Why would we?" And I like he says, "this tent," which is very good, which means this. It is a temporary shelter. It's temporary. It's a tent. Tent is not a permanent house, is it? No. See, we spend so much time. Now look, God is interested in the house. We're going to find out. But you got to identify what's important first with yourself. Most people, this is why people can't get healing. Because all they do is focus on their body. It's all they do is focus on their flesh all the time. All the time. Always dealing with their flesh. Hardly spend any time over dealing with how the spirit is where divine healing comes from. It's all about their flesh. Talking about their flesh. This problem, that problem I have. Always going to the thing. Always dealing with the natural man. You know, I told the story, you know, when I was some years back here, I was down at one of Randall Greer's meeting and I said about it. I got over in this thing in this cough and I'd go to bed at night, be fine during the day, go to bed at night and cough. Couldn't get any sleep at nighttime. Finally, after doing that on Thursday morning, I got up the last morning of the services and I said to the Lord, "What's going on?" And he said to me, he said, "You're not walking by faith. All you're doing is paying attention." He said, "All you're doing is focused on what your problem is." And when he said it, I said, "My God, you're exactly right." All I was doing, I wasn't even talking to God. I was talking about my problem. I wasn't believing I had anything. I was trying to get something. See, I'm over in the flesh. I'm keep looking at it from the fleshly side. And when I saw it, I said, "Lord, you're right. I change that." He said, "You know better than doing that." He said, "You know, you've all the years you've walked." He said, "You know better." I said, "You're exactly right." He said, "I don't care what you know. It's what you do with what you know. I don't care how much you think you know about healing. It's what you do with what you know about healing. It's going to produce anything. And you got to do it from the spiritual side. If you want God's intervention, you got to do it from the spirit realm, not from the natural realm. Not from the natural realm. There's certain things like when Wanda, when she had her operation, we sat down. There's certain things we were believing that she wasn't going to have pain and that stuff. So, you know, we set ourselves and started acting in that direction. You know, because, you know, they would come and the doctors would say, "Well, you're going to have this problem. You're going to have that problem." We just look and smile and say, "No, that's not going to be happening with us. That's not going to be." No, we didn't go running around telling, "Well, she's going to have so many weeks. And the doctor said I have to." We just can't wait to go tell people that stuff. We just can't wait to go let people know what the doctor said. And then there's always the idiots who the devil sends to ask you about what the doctor said. And we can't wait to answer them because we think we have to. We think we have to. We don't look at them and say, "You know, the doctor said it ain't none of your business." No, because they might not like us if we don't cater to them. If we don't do what they want, you know, they'll think I'm a snob. I'm a snob. Get over it. I'm not making a lousy confession to keep you happy. See, that's one thing I knew. See, that's why I never told the church till the day before her operation. I never spoke to anybody about it. I know people! There's reasons you do things. There's the reasons. You know, unless you know that a person can do, that's why I told you. I said, I didn't want anybody praying. Didn't I tell you? I just want you to agree with what we believe. I wasn't interested at all in what you believed on the subject. If you didn't believe what we were believing, that it wouldn't work. Then I didn't want you involved in it. That's why he's not, I just can't believe people just call places and prayer chains and, oh yeah, we need to pray for so and so. And I think, dear Lord, that's a death sentence. Don't even know who's praying for. You know, the largest Christian network in the United States is called a Christian network. I don't know how Christian it is. I have no idea, but I know this. I met years ago, back in 1983, I met a woman who was the head of the prayer ministry for that network. And I never met anybody so spiritually messed up in my life. I was only a Christian for about three years and about 7 months at the time that I met this lady. And she was at Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting, and we were there. She was sitting beside us, me and this friend of mine. Wanda couldn't go out that time, and I went out to the meetings. That was when the Lord told me I was going to go out, I was going to get an anointing. And the Lord had me beside this lady, and I'm going to tell you what, she was as messed up as the day was long. Her family life, she got telling me what's going on in her life. I thought, what's this lady praying for people for? My God, she can't get an answer her prayer for nothing. Her family's like a bunch of heathen devils. She started telling me all was going on, then started telling me what's the matter with her. And I thought, dear God, Lord, deliver me from this. And people call those prayer chains all the time. Say, do you know what you're getting into? Do you have any clue? Oh, hallelujah. I didn't say which one it was, so you don't know which one it is. So. But I'm just, you think about it before you just jump out there and say, yeah, just pray. Just pray. There's one thing is I can tell you people concerning about praying. You're taught certain things. But you go out here, loads of people all the time ask people to pray, and that person can't pray for themselves. They can't, their own lives are all messed up. They can't get nothing from God. And you just took what your need was and laid it in their hands, and they're going to go to God like they go through with the rest of their stuff. And you gave them authority to do it. And you wonder why it ain't working. You just gave him authority to do it. Go ahead and pray in your unbelief. Go ahead. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't the Holy Ghost wonderful? But see, this stuff needs to be corrected. You just don't throw stuff out there. But we do. And our little religiousness. And we don't realize the problems we create around us because we don't walk in the Spirit. We're walking in the flesh. We want manifestations of the Holy Ghost while doing things in the flesh. It doesn't work that way. You got to do spiritual things to hook up with spiritual things. That's what you can do. Hallelujah. Now that doesn't, but one thing is find out who you have praying for you if you want to tell somebody to pray. You make sure you know it's somebody. Hallelujah. See, you need to know that. You just don't, you don't cast pearls before swine. It's not a good thing. But anyhow, what you got to come to the point of this, as we're talking about here, man is a three-part being. He's spirit and he's soul and he's body. That's the three parts of man. Man is spirit. Well, we know what our likeness of God with God is. If God is a spirit and I was created in the likeness and image of God, therefore I am spirit. That's what I am. I am a spirit. I am a spirit. That's what I am. The real Ed. If this body drops dead right now, the real man, that's what Paul said. Paul said, depart and be with Christ is far better. Why? If I departed, did Paul's body leave? No, but the real Paul did. See, the real Ed, you can't see with the physical eye. You can't see the real. I can't see the real you. All I see is the house you live in. And you can butter it up or not butter it up or do whatever you want with it. It doesn't matter. That don't make you anything on the inside. The real man anything. The real man is nothing. The outer man makes the real man nothing. We can do all the stuff on the outside. There's people who can act religiously on the outside, do all kinds of things. They wouldn't drink a thing. They'd never have a drink. They'd never smoke. They'd never swear. They'd never do any kind of thing. But inside, they're full of all kind of bad stuff. All kind of bad, evil thoughts about other people and all kind of stuff going on in them. You don't see it on the outside. They look great. How do you know? You see, it's what you are in this. It's this guy on the inside. It's what this inner man is. And so you have to know that. The inner man, the real you. Just think about it. This is what Jesus, what the scripture says. Know no man after the flesh. How many people do you really know after the spirit? How many do you really know after the spirit? Most of the people that you know only is after the flesh. It's the only way you know. The scripture says, know no man after the flesh. See, if you get over in the spirit, this is what I found out. The more I get over in the spirit, the more I can understand what people are spiritually. Understand, this is not something bad. This is something good. You can know how to help people. Most of what Christians do today to help people is all physical. It's all mental. It's all what we see on the outside, and then we correlate our thoughts from what we see on the outside, and then we determine to judge and how we have to fix this thing, what we got to do, and what our prayer should be about it. It's all based on the mental. It's all based on that. See, this is why the gifts of word of wisdom and word of knowledge, they start to show things. We get to see things how they are spiritually. Why? So we can really minister to people, so we can help them. You know, I know this many times today, people are turning around and they're dealing with the thing, and I just use an example of healing. They use an example of healing. A person's having a hard time at it. And people are just keep fighting all the time to be in faith and be in faith. And I know this. Faith ain't the problem. You can work at the faith thing all you want, but if that ain't what the problem is, you can go over the faith side all you want, make all the confessions you want. It don't change. You got to find out what needs to be changed. What's really the problem? It's number one, learn to know you. Most people do not know themselves. If you don't know you, you don't know where you stand in faith. If you don't really know you, you need to know your strengths and your weaknesses spiritually. If you don't, you can't grow up spiritually. You can't do it. If you don't know your weaknesses, you'll never try to fix something. If you don't think you got a weakness. See, you have to know that. You have to know where you can really stand in faith and where you can't. You need to know that. If you don't, you can't. How are you going to fix it? How are you going to go over? What are you going to do to try to change that spiritually? What are you going to do? If you don't know it exists, you do nothing about it. This is how Christians go through their entire life and things never change. Because they never change. They're always trying to do everything through the natural. We're always trying to put on an image for people. I gave that up a long time ago, dear Lord. My God, couldn't please them anyhow. Couldn't make them happy anyway. I gave it up as a bad job. Just go ahead. You don't want to live a life where we have to sit around and jump through each other's hoops. Do you want to live there? Aren't you tired of that? So many Christians live in that place. Their Christian life is obedience to what people to jump to, trying to keep people happy, trying to keep things running, trying to keep going through that thing. Man, I'm like Donald Trump. Throw a hand grenade in it. After it goes off, we'll go in and clean the mess up. But there's things need blown up. There's things in my life needed blown up. They didn't need fixed. They needed blown up. There's things in your life needs blown up, not fixed. Because if it gets fixed, you'll still be a knucklehead. Well, let's get it right. There's things that I don't need fixed. I need changed. Dear Lord, let's go in and tear that thing out. Let's get rid of that thing. We get so protective of the things that we like or we want. We're afraid. There's the fear of change. You got to lose that. People don't like to change. They change. My God. Like Brother Hagin used to say, he used to talk about the Pentecostals years ago when he was among them. He said, the Pentecostals, he said, they would rather give up Jesus than change. They had their things that they did that were important, you know, it's important to them how they did things. But we need to understand, we're dealing We're a spirit, soul, and body. Your outer man is a tent. You know, the house you live in is a tent. You got to come to that reality. It is a tent. Why would you let a tent dominate your life? Why would you let a tent determine whether you get healed or you get finances or you get ever peace and joy? Why would you let a tent make the decision? Yet most Christians, that's exactly what they're doing. They let the tent decide. If the tent gets noisy, what do? Our society, grease the squeaky wheel. What's the squeaky wheel? My flesh. Keep your flesh happy. Oh, keep it happy. It wants four pieces of pie. Keep it happy. Because it just keeps yelling. We don't fast and pray because my body can't take it, not eating. And Lord knows, I got to have lunch four times today. And you'll find this out. You decide to skip one meal, and your body wants to eat 12 meals that day. And it didn't before till you decided you wanted to fast. Now, isn't that the truth? Ain't that the way it is? You know, I think I've spent some time in fasting and praying. And all the time I get doing things in the morning and I just get praying. And I don't eat sometimes in the morning and I'll get going along. I think, you know, I didn't eat yet today. And I'll get over that. Now, when I decide specifically I'm on a fast, my body always wants to have breakfast. You're laughing because yours does too. Well, you have to get by on that thing. You get over and praying and your stomach's growling and it never growled before. But now it is. And know what? I got to get something in there. I don't want to get an upset stomach. I don't want to upset this flesh of mine because I have no faith to keep it in line. So we best feed it. Well, yeah. You know it's bad. When the flesh, when you start praying and the flesh wants to clean the septic system. That you would rather, your flesh would rather clean a septic system than pray. Oh yeah, come on. Let's get with it. There's always 20 things that come up. There's all things that you hated to do all year and you decided you weren't going to do them because you didn't like doing them, but you start spending time in prayer and all those things come up and you have this great urge to go do them. God must be speaking to me. No, it's your noisy flesh that can't stand it over there. That thing that's dead in sin. It's over there promoting itself. Woo-hoo-hoo! So you know where I'm coming from, don't you? Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you this. The flesh mostly wins, don't it? You can't grow spiritually if you keep letting that happen. You will never grow spiritually if you keep allowing that to happen. You have to stop it. Touching into the spirit realm has to be, see, the flesh don't like that because the flesh can't see it nor feel it. So it doesn't like to go there. I was sitting praying in tongues, you know, like yesterday. I prayed about 3 hours. And a lot of it was just praying in tongues because something the Lord spoke to me about. And I've just been spending over time and praying in tongues because there's a lot you can't do nothing about it unless the Lord gives me some specific things about it. Just praying in tongues. And you get over into that area and you start doing that. And your flesh, I mean, my flesh, once I get over in it a while, like I can just get a flow on it and go. But getting over into it, your flesh is over in a thing where your flesh don't want to go there. Your flesh got all this stuff it's thinking about doing, you know, all this flesh. And you're over here trying to get into that area. But see, you got to come over to the thing is, see, your flesh doesn't like it and it can't see nor feel a thing. I'm praying in tongues. I don't feel a thing. I'm not feeling anything. I have no feelings. But see, the Bible says this, when I'm praying in tongues, I'm not speaking to men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, I'm speaking mysteries. See, I'm speaking mysteries to God. See, I can't feel it. I don't know what the mysteries are being said, and I'm praying. Now, I'm doing something that does not coincide with your flesh at all. This is why people don't spread in tongues. This is why the church has a terrible time over the things of tongues. Because most of the church only believes in what they can feel, touch, taste, and smell. That's all they believe. And they'll say, we believe the word of God. No, they don't. Anything. How could you believe in a God when you can't believe in things you can't touch, taste, and smell? You can't believe in a God. My God's invisible. I don't see him. But I'll tell you what, when I act in faith, he manifests himself. He reveals himself. But he only does it when I act in faith. See, if you want manifestations, you've got to learn how to operate in the spirit, acting like that realm's real. Instead of, this realm is so real. Our physical realm is so real to us. See, we got to get past that. See, we're spirit, we're soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. In other words, that operates over there. Really, when you deal with that, they're attached to you. When you die and go to heaven, your soul, in other words, it's like you say your personality and the way you think. If you didn't change here, you go to heaven as a knucklehead. You know that? Oh, yeah, you do. You don't go to heaven, genius. No, you go thinking the same dumb stuff you thought here. That don't change. Whatever you planted in your spirit, that spirit man goes to heaven believing that same stuff. And if it's wrong, it ain't a light switch turns on. You're going to have to be taught in heaven. That's a principle of the kingdom. That's not, so we have this idea, go to heaven and all the principles of the kingdom change that operate here on the earth. No, they don't. If you got to learn here, you're going to have to learn there. It's the same kingdom. If you got to feed the inner man the word of God, we're going to have to feed the inner man the word of God when we get there. That's not going to stop. Ed's going to be teaching in heaven. Do you know that? I got an eternal gift. Lord, you're going to have to put up with me, folks. I hope I change a bunch till I get there. I'll tell you, I just... One thing about teaching heaven, you ain't going to be no struggle. Because you ain't going to have your natural flesh that is going to be the cause of so much trouble trying to break through to your own things. Do you realize how your flesh keeps you from grasping hold of spiritual things? How your flesh works? You got to learn, you got to understand that, how much it does. You understand that's the battle you're fighting here on this earth. A lot of you folks ain't dealing with problems that ain't the devil, it's your own flesh. I'll tell you, I think my flesh could whoop the devil sometime when it comes to stuff because it acts more crazy than he does. The battles I put up with my flesh, bringing it into line because it wants to oppose what it can't touch, taste, or feel. It believes whatever, you know, somebody says this about something or that about something, we take it as true. It's taking the word of God. And see, we need to get ourselves over. One of the things that I learned with Kenneth Hagin had this thing that he used to do in saying it. And I used to repeat it a lot. One of the things I got a hold of, when I was a young Christian, I started this when I was first a baby Christian. Because I listened to Kenneth Hagin's teaching along these lines. And he's, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. I'm a spirit, that's what I am. And you got to learn to start saying that to yourself. I'm a spirit being. I am a spirit being. I am not, there's a thing called a human being, and a human being basically is this. It's all those three parts, a name for all three parts. But really, I'm a spirit being. That's the real me. I have a soul. I have mind, will, and emotion. I have those things. But I live in a body, and the body is no more than a house. It's a temporary tent. That's all it is. Talk about it the way that it really is. Don't pamper it or it'll dominate you. Do all that it wants to do. Every time it wants to feel bad, you want to go curl up somewhere and whine. Oh, I got a problem. The devil will get you to go hide out somewhere and you'll go hide out and you'll go live with him and he'll go, you know, do it. It's all because your flesh doesn't want to deal with things. I know. My flesh at times don't want to deal with things. And you're going to have to deal with them. You got to deal with them. Your flesh is telling you one thing. The word tells you another. Well, which am I going to follow? Am I going to follow the feelings of my flesh and the whatever my flesh is telling me? Or the word that says something and say, but I can't feel that. So we don't head in that direction. Just say this with me. I'm a spirit. I'm like God created me. I'm a spirit being. I have a soul. I have mind, will, and emotions. I have a body. And that body is temporary. It's not eternal. It's a tent. It's temporary. I refuse to let my body dominate me. I will be dominated by my own human spirit. And so you want to get over that. The Holy Spirit can't manifest through you till you recognize what you are. Because that's how He contacts and works through you, your spirit. And see, most Christians want him working through their body. That's the divine healing. People get over it. They want divine healing. They're doing it all in the physical, trying to get it through the physical, trying to get it through some natural means, trying to get it over there in that area. They're not using faith in any area that'll bring, that'll cause a manifestation. The Holy Ghost will cause it to manifest through your spirit. You gotta get it in the inner man first. That's what the prayer of faith's about. The prayer of faith is believing you receive it when you don't see it, you don't feel it, you don't have a thing, and you say, I believe I got my healing. I believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, I'm healed. Start acting like you're healed. Get a smile on your face and quit your whining, talking about your problem. Glory to God. Go take a running spell when the doctor says, don't do that. Well, if I believed I received my healing, I can't keep acting like the doctor said. See, I've been doing that since I've been a baby Christian. I'm not a good patient, but I get healed. The good patients go back to the doctor again and again and again and again and again and again. I have nothing against doctors, but I have a physician who has told me things in the scriptures. And his voice means more to me than anything any doctor ever said. A doctor can't give me divine healing. He cannot do that. There's only one that can give me divine healing. That's God. There is nobody else can give it to me. I can't give you divine healing. God does. That's where it all comes from. God may operate through an individual. He may gift a person, but it's God. It ain't the person. It's God. And divine healing only comes from God. And we have to understand that. See, anything that you want that's different than what you're doing in the natural, you're going to have to use faith to get that. See, maybe you can't believe for divine healing, but you can't go to the doctor and not have faith. See, most people, this is their problem. They really don't have the areas of faith. And when they go to the doctor, they think a doctor is an easier way than trying to stand and believe. When you go to the doctor, you're going to find out, can you only believe as far as he said? You go tell everybody, well, he said, I can't go to work for 6 weeks. You know, as I'll never forget the first time Wanda had a foot operation, the doctor told her, well, 8 weeks you can't put a shoe on. She looked at him and said, that ain't happening. Wanda loves shoes, and she likes them on her feet, not just sitting in the closet. And in 3 weeks, Wanda's walking around with shoes on and back to work. 99% of Christians are. Well, yep, they're going to be off work 8 weeks. They think it's a vacation, then, too. They never experienced divine healing, and they won't, ever. They look at going to see something with a doctor, therefore I can get some time off. Is that the way you want it? Why don't you believe God for money and take time off and be healthy at it? No, we do it the stupid way. We do it the same way the world does it. We need to understand these things. If we want God involved, we're going to have to do something spiritually to get God involved. We need to understand this. This isn't being mad at anybody. This is the way it works. If it doesn't go this way, it don't work. It's the way it works. Look over. This is one of the things we're going to go over too, but we'll be talking more about it next week. We'll be going into this some more because I'm going to finish this today. But I want you to see something because we're dealing with us as spiritual beings. And Romans 8th chapter is a good place to talk about these things. It's a good place. Because God wants us to operate over in the spirit of these gifts of the spirit. He wants them in manifestation. But we have to see ourselves of who we, what we really are. You have to see yourself that you're a spirit being. See, I believe it's completely natural for me to operate out of my spirit. Now, I didn't get there yesterday and started doing that. I've been doing that since 1980. Of making confessions and saying things and speaking concerning me. I'm a spirit man. That's the number one on the deal. My body ain't number one. My body is a tent. My body is not on the top of the list for care. But, and you know what? My body will do fine if I do that. See, you put your body on the top of the list, you're going to need care. If your body's on the top of the list, you're going to need care. See, you need to get over and understand the realm of the Spirit. If I can flow in the realm of the Spirit, I can take care of any of this stuff in the natural. Isn't that wonderful? That's why Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. What? That's faith. That's a faith. What? That's an operation of the Spirit. All things are not possible in the natural. They're not. But in the realm of the Spirit, everything's possible. Through the Spirit, I can manifest anything into the natural. All things. Boy, does that make religious people nervous. Oh, you could just do anything. Well, did Jesus lie? Well, did he lie? Did he add something to it? No, but they did. They have a list 47 miles long of all the buts and ifs and all that kind of stuff. Religion acts on there. So why? To kill your faith, because that's all they are. It's full of flesh. That's what their religion is. It's based in flesh. It's the love of the flesh. Hallelujah. I spent 30 years loving my flesh and I was killing it the whole time. I caused my flesh more problems, letting it dominate. I'll tell you what. Oh my God. Well, in Romans 8, listen to this in verse 1. This is an exciting verse here. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that exciting? But let's read the rest of it. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Can we change Bibles, please? Maybe go to another one. Let's go find another one. They'll talk to them over here. They're not. No, I want you to see this and get this. He said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, some translations, they say because there's some of the Greek things say that they take it from, that it doesn't have that last part. But that last part's a fact, and we're going to prove it through the rest of what we're reading. It's a factual statement. Number one, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. You will have condemnation. Where does condemnation come from? Now, here's one thing, is understand this. God won't condemn you. He won't condemn you. But you will be condemned. How does that happen? Well, in 1 John tells us how that takes place. 1 John in the 3rd chapter. And this is what you need to know. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Verse 20 says this, for if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. In other words, where does condemnation come from? My own spirit. Your own spirit will condemn you. Your own human spirit. You get over and you start living in the flesh. Don't you feel guilty? You start doing, you do something the flesh, you know it's wrong. Where does that come from? That comes from your inner man. People say, oh, well, God's dealing with me. No, it isn't. Your own spirit trying to say, knock that off. See, the real you is saying, I don't want to let the flesh do that. I didn't say that was all right. I didn't say that was good. I'm not going along with that. That's what's happening. Your inner man is saying, hey, mind, get straightened out. Don't let the flesh do that stuff. And we're going to deal with this. Because if you don't get your mind renewed, whatever you renew your mind to is what you're going to follow. If your mind is renewed to the flesh and that's where it walks in, then the flesh is going to dominate. Or you get renewed in your mind concerning the Spirit, then the Spirit will dominate. Your mind is the key to whoever's going to rule. Your mind is. This is why we're teaching this. You have to become spiritually minded. You got to get yourself, I'm a spirit being. That's what I'm not. My body is a temporary thing. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be dead than live in sin. Most Christians will fight to stay alive and live in sin. It don't bother people. I don't want to live in this earth if I'm going to live in sin. I don't want to be here. Why? Because it brings shame on my God. The one who redeemed me and say, see, people don't, just as long as I get to make it here, I just want to stay here with my family so I can ruin their lives too. Oh, good preaching. Yeah. They need me around so I can live in the flesh more in front of them and help them. I'll tell you, because I'm so loving. There he goes again. Hallelujah. But condemnation, your own heart is designed to condemn you. Your heart is created after the likeness and image of God. When you got born again, now think about this. You were born again. Your spirit is in the likeness and image of God. That's what it is. Think about that. Your inner man wants to follow God and wants to walk with God. Your inner man has no problem about wanting to do what's right. My inner man rejoices. It wants to follow God. It likes the idea. It thinks it's pretty cool. It's the outer man I'm dealing with. It's that dead weight that I'm dragging with me. And it's a dead weight too. It's a dead weight. And I drag that stupid dead thing along. That's why I'm just going to be excited, because one day I'll tell you, Ed's going to put on the new suit. Glory to God. Ain't going to have this knucklehead thing that's just been, I've been fighting with all these years. Hallelujah. But see, we can do a lot about putting that thing to death so it don't dominate you, and we'll find out as we go along in this. But what we're looking at here today, we want to go over it because I want you to see this. There is condemnation. If I live in the flesh, or I walk in the flesh, or the house rules, or the tent rules, if that's the way I walk, see, and he's talking about walk, in other words, the way you live. It's your conduct of your life. If I live over by the flesh, if I live in that way, I am going to live in the land of condemnation. And I'm going to have this problem. I won't have confidence toward God. My faith life won't work. What I do believe won't work. Because I never have confidence toward God, because I always feel guilty. If the flesh rules, you can never be strong in faith. The flesh can't rule. Because I'll tell you what, it ain't bad enough your flesh will remind you of it. The devil and about 57 of his demons will come along and talk to you every day about the scumbag you are. And you'll get to the point where you can't believe you can believe God for anything. Confidence, my confidence, it isn't about God. Isn't God trying to get at me? God provided me a way that if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But I have to go and start living right. I can't go back to my old life and go living that way. I can't go back walking in the flesh, because why? Condemnation will come immediately. It's not like a guy from, you know, over there in Singapore saying, yeah, you know, you don't have to confess your sin. You know, it's all right. You're good. I'm going to tell you what, that is a doctrine of hell coming from a man's life who has a demon himself. Well, he has to, or he wouldn't be teaching that doctrine, folks. People buy his books. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't have one of his books in my house. I don't want that spirit that's on him getting on me. People who don't believe in repentance, I'm going to tell you, stay clear of them. They're hell's best friend. They will tell you, go ahead, live in the flesh and you'll be all right. You can live in the flesh. You don't have to live in the spirit. God will take care of you. Telling people, oh, you don't have to feel bad about sin. You shouldn't feel bad. I heard him say it with his own mouth. He said, that's the devil trying to make you feel bad when you sin. See, he tells you enough of the truth to get you to swallow those things and get you to eat that stuff, and then you get that spirit. Because when you buy it, now you got that spirit. Now that spirit has access to you. You don't buy that. The first thing you want to do is get away from sin. Understand this. You know, this is where people get over. You need to pass this thing of shame and all that. When you sin, run right to God. Boy, man, I've stood on the fact the scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. You know what he said? Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. The only reason you need mercy is because you messed up. You don't go for mercy if you ain't done anything. In other words, he said, come boldly to get mercy. I can run right into God and say, I blew it, God! I blew it! I don't have to walk around for 10 weeks trying to fix it. No, you run right in and say, Dad, I blew it. I admit it. I did it wrong. And then he said this, there's grace to help you in time of need. So why? So you don't get in that trouble again. And if you don't confess it, you're going to stay in trouble. That's Bible. And see, we need to walk in the light of the truth. Don't let people get you over into something else. Always run to your daddy. Run, if you mess up, you run to dad immediately. You don't mess, wait around out there and say, well, listen to the devil say, yeah, you messed up. He can't help you anymore. And you've just done too many things wrong. Dear Lord, God ain't keeping a list. If you confessed your sins before, there ain't no list. God don't have a list. Why do you keep one? When you confessed it, you're supposed to act spiritually. And this is what people don't do. They act fleshly. They always remember because their own flesh will say, I just can't make it. I'm always messing up. And that's their flesh talking. And they live by it. They live by their flesh. Well, I've done this wrong and I've done it. Did you ask God to forgive you? Yeah. Well, when are you going to act like it's true? When do you keep calling him a liar and say, yeah, well, I have this problem. Yeah, I got this problem because I don't believe God. I don't believe he forgave me. I believe he's still holding against me. No, you need to confess your sin and then immediately believe God for something. Immediately say, praise God! Hallelujah! I'm going to act in faith, devil, watch it. God's going to bless me. I'll let you get a side row seat here. Guard up front. Come up here and watch it. You can watch God bless me. The devil runs off quick when you do that stuff. But when he can get you whining and feel bad for yourself because you follow your flesh, you stay over in the areas of the problems. You just live there. Don't live there. God don't want you to live there. When you confess your sin, he ain't keeping no account. You ain't going to get to heaven and hear about it. Why? Because it's already been under the blood of Jesus. It's done. This is why God's incredible. He can actually forget and never remember. That's a phenomenal thing. Don't you want to get that one? You know, loads of Christians need to get that for themselves. They tag along. They got this list of stuff they drag with them, and they can pull it out of their wallet or purse anytime and give you the list of their mistakes. Oh, yeah. And then they got a list of other people's mistakes, too. Hallelujah. And then they don't wonder. I don't understand. I don't understand why faith don't work for me. It's obvious why it don't work. It's not going to. See, you act like things are true, but you can't say, well, I don't feel like I'm forgiven. I don't care what I feel like. The Bible says I'm forgiven. There's not another sentence to be said on the subject, and any other thought is a lie. And if you entertain the lie, your flesh will dominate you. Lies aren't of the spirit, they're of the flesh. So you can't believe. You got to get over. That's why you always run to God quick. Hallelujah. Run to the Lord really quick. Okay, and back to Romans 8 again. We're going to go back there and look. We'll meddle some more in this. Hallelujah. But this is, hey folks, this is good stuff. I want you to understand this. What we're doing here, and the Lord told me this. He said, if you can't measure yourself by the word of God of where you are, you can't change. See, this is what we do. These words, these give us a measuring stick that we can put to ourselves to measure where we're at. See, you might take one area of your life you're spiritual in, and you have another area you're carnal in. Well, you need to be able to identify that. This is what the Lord said to me. Many of my people, they can never grow up because they think they've arrived spiritually. He said they think they're spiritually mature, and they're not. Why? Because they never measure themselves against what the Word says. They have their religious beliefs, and they measure themselves against their religious beliefs, and they believe they're okay when they're not. This is why I measure. See, the more I measure myself by the Word of God, the more I can see of areas where I need to change, and I need some areas I do pretty good in. Some areas I'm not as good in, so I have to measure myself. I have to know that, or I can't develop in that area. I'll never try to develop in that area if I think I'm okay. See, that's the woodshed of God. You go out in his woodshed and he takes the word and says, see what this is? You say, oh my God, I am out of line, ain't I? Oh, okay, I need to change there. See, most people, they don't want to go the last place they want to go. They want to feel, I'm okay. No, well, if you're not okay, that's not good. Why? God wants you, God's whole intent is this, is wants to give you the full blessing of Abraham. Not a part. He wants you to have the full blessing. He wants to have the curse eliminated 100% out of your life. Anything that you're struggling out of, you can't get a hold of, it's part of the curse. It's living under the curse. And if you're satisfied with that, I don't know. It's curse. Anything's the devil. Sickness, disease, poverty, anything like that. Your needs or wants are not taken care of and things. That's all under the curse. That's curse. Well, then that means there's areas I need to develop in and I need to grow in so I can get out of that because I'm living under a curse. It's a curse. You're not supposed to live under the curse. You're supposed to live under the blessing. Jesus Christ redeemed you for that purpose, that he redeemed you from the curse of the law. I may be redeemed from it, but you can't walk in it by the flesh. Now in Romans 8:2 says, listen, for this law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now what the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws here he's talking about. The law of life in Christ Jesus and there's the law of sin and death. You have been redeemed by through Christ Jesus. What? The law of the Spirit of life. That's the place you want to walk in. Because there is the law of sin and death. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free. You know, God has made you free, but you may not be walking in any of the freedom at all. Even, you know, God, Jesus died for every man's sin. Is every man saved? The Bible says God's not holding sin against man. The church says he is. The church says, no, that you need to ask God to forgive your sin. You don't need to ask God to forgive your sin. God already did that in Christ Jesus. To get born again, you received Christ Jesus as Lord. That's how you get born again. And that has to take place. That's what he says. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law, those ordinances and rules of how you had to live and all which one, it was weak what? Through the flesh. See, the law dealt with your flesh. There was no freedom in it. You know, the Lord spoke to me years ago and said this to me one day. He said, you know what the curse of the law is? Well, I've heard people say, you know, the curse of the law was, you know, spiritual death, the sickness, disease, poverty, and all this kind of stuff. They said it was all these things. The Lord said to me, the curse of the law is the fact you can't keep it. The curse of the law, and that is, it's a curse. No matter why, because it deals with the flesh. My words, we can't get our flesh to skip lunch. How are we going to get it to keep the law? I mean, think about it. Well, I sit back and look at my flesh and what I have to fight if I'm going from the flesh side trying to do. Pretty weak in the flesh. The Bible tells us. The flesh, it's weak. The flesh is weak. Jesus said to the disciples, he told Peter, Peter said, I'll die with you. Jesus said, pray lest you fall into temptation. He said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. Why are you playing with the weak? Why do you hang out with the weak all the time? Your flesh. Why do you let the weak dominate you? Why do we always side with the weak? And our strength, the inner man, we ignore him. You might as well laugh, folks. My words, guilty is charged. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we having fun yet? Hallelujah. See, the law was what? Weak through the flesh. God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Sin in the flesh is condemned. No wonder when we get born again and we sin, we feel condemned. Because it is, sin is condemned. God condemned it, so our spirit says, you're supposed to be doing that. What was the purpose? That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who what? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The righteousness of the law. If you want to fulfill righteousness, you're going to have to live out of your inner man. You can't live out of your flesh and live righteous. Impossible. You can't do it. You're going to have to live out of the, follow out, make the outer man obey the inner man. Make the house do what you want. See, the inner man is to rule. He's the guy to be in charge. Now, so even though I am free of the law of sin and death, if I don't get, in other words, if I don't get my mind renewed to the spiritual law of sin and death and get myself renewed to that thing and so it doesn't dominate me, I'm going to always have problems. See, most Christians live in the land of sin and death. We know a lot about, oh my God, you know, I made a mistake and oh boy, I tell you this, feeling guilty. That's the law of sin and death. That's getting over feeling bad about yourself, getting over feeling sorry, patting yourself, say, oh, I just can't make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. All those things. That is part of the condemnation of the flesh is what the flesh does. See, and your spirit man will say, you know, it's like, one of the things is don't ever listen to preachers who use the Old Testament, which was talking to dead people, say, well, the heart is always to do evil. Because it says that in the Old Testament. Well, sure. They weren't born again. Their heart was always to do evil. You know, you ain't going to commit the murder David did and get away with it like David did. David wasn't born again. You need to understand these things. David is not the guy I measure myself to. I measure myself to Jesus Christ. To this law of liberty. That's what I measure myself. I'm born again. I don't have the sin nature. If you still have the sin nature, you're not born again. Your flesh is dead in sin, but my inner man don't have the sin nature. My inner man don't want to sin. The real Ed on the inside wants to live right. Man, that's my meter in there that keeps me going in the right direction. That's the one in there, you know. That's that guy on the inside. If the guy in the inside ain't right, your conscience is going to be wrong. Your conscience won't bother you. You can sin. That's why I know a lot of people call themselves Christians. They can't be Christian because they live like hell and say, I'm a Christian. Their conscience don't bother them. I'm going to say, I got a conscience. And the man on the inside gives me a hard time when I let the flesh dominate. And he don't talk pretty to me either. He don't try to sweeten me up. Why? Because he knows my flesh is stinking. He knows it's dead in sin. It's like Paul said, you know, he's like a boxer. He's got to punch this. Paul said, talked about punching this thing, trying to get it straightened out. Didn't you ever want to knock your flesh out? Didn't you ever wish you could get rid of it? Hallelujah, the days are coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We ain't punched it enough yet. Glory to God. Now listen to what he goes on to say. We'll read this part here. In Romans 8, starting in verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, what do? They set their mind on the things of the flesh. See, you can't live according to the flesh and think spiritually. You can't do that. But those who live according to the Spirit, what do they set their mind on? The things of the Spirit. The real man, the inner man. They're thinking about the real man, the real them. That's what they're looking at. The real me. I'm the Spirit. I'm the one who's created in the likeness and image of God. They set their mind on those thoughts. See, you're going to have to set your mind on whatever thoughts you're going to set them on. How far do you want to go spiritually? It's going to be ever how far you want to set your thoughts. There's no magic wand waved and all of a sudden you become spiritual. That don't happen. You're going to have to work at this thing, and this takes work. This is work. Now they use this term. They say to be carnally minded is death. Actually, that's the same word. It would be fleshly. And I don't like it they changed it carnal because we're dealing with the flesh. Carny means meat. It's dealing with flesh. You know, like chili con carne, that's chili with meat. All right? That's what they call it. That's what he used to call it, chili con carne. It has meat in it. If it don't have any meat in it, it's no chili con carne. It's just chili. They put on the cans, chili without meat. It's like, if it's just chili, it don't have no meat in it. But us Americans are dumb. We have to have it explained to us. But what does it say? For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is what? Just full of life, isn't it? You see, you can't be carnally minded and get healing and stuff. It don't work. Why? Because it's death. Your flesh, if you let it rule, will always lead you to death. Why? Because it can't lead you any other place. It's dead in sin. It can't lead you to any other place. It can't take you anyplace else. It can't take you to healing. It only has death to offer. That's all it got. Now, she says, but what to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Here's a wonderful measuring stick. The thing you are believing, you say you believe in for God, and blah, 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 blah. Do you have life and peace? If you don't, you're carnally minded. You're not spirit. Because if you really are spiritually minded in this thing, you have life and peace. Peace of God is a spiritual force. It is not a physical force. Just like love. Love of God is a spiritual. It's the love of God shed abroad in your heart. People have, most people, and even Christians, they just live by natural love. That's what they live by. They don't live by the love of God in them. They don't live there. They get problems with somebody. They hold an animosity. They hold different things. That's just natural love. Natural love will do this. Natural love will treat its own children better than it treats other people's children. That's what natural love does. The love of God treats everybody the same. Woo! Ain't that fun? Why? Listen, people, all they do is act in natural love. People do this all the time, Christians. There's things that they wouldn't tolerate from somebody else at all, but their kids do it all the time. And they tolerate with their kids. Why? Because they operate out of the love of the flesh. They don't have no love of God. They don't operate now the inner man. They operate the love of the flesh. See, I can get meddling, folks. There's one thing that you can ask my kids. I never treated other people's kids as different than I treated my own. My kids didn't get it. They did things wrong. They didn't just because they're my kids. I expected out of them. And in fact, I expected more out of them because they were raised in the right home. They were told right. And they better get doing what's right. The love of God in me compels me to do that. You set a low standard and they'll live by it every time. And if you set a low standard, they'll live below that. I'll guarantee you. Anything you tolerate from your kids, you need to tolerate in other people and be respectful. You ain't got no business of getting upset when your own kids do. Gets quiet in this Presbyterian church, I'll tell you. See, we need to touch on these things. Because see, if we don't measure ourselves, see, the love of God. You know, see, I have the care of my children. That's my responsibility, and all the care of the other guy's kids. But I got to love people the same way. I got to look at them in the same things. And do I look at other people? I do wrong, but if they do wrong, we want to kill them and shoot them, and we justify ourselves. Well, that's the love of the flesh. That's what that is. That's the love of the flesh. I'll go and read some more. Okay, we'll go on. We might as well laugh or keep me from crying. Okay, here we go. Now, listen to this. Listen what's said here. But the carnal mind or the fleshly mind, the mind that follows the house or the tent, that mind, it says, what about that mind? Is enmity against God. Or what is it? An enemy of God. That's a pretty tough statement. See, people who live in the flesh, Christians who live in the flesh are enemies of God. You might be a child of God born again, but you operate as an enemy. That's what it says here. If my mind follows the carnal, my mind is enmity, and that word just means enemy. It's an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. What's the law he's talking about? It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law. He's not talking about the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law was the law of sin and death. See, it's not subject to the law of life. You can't live by the flesh and be subject to the law of life. You can't do that. They're opposites of each other. The flesh is dead in sin, judged by the law, but the inner man is judged by the life that's in Christ Jesus, the one that's born of the nature of God. So you want to renew your mind to the inner man, not to the outer. Why? Because you become an enemy of God. You're opposing and you will operate against what God wants. That's what you do. Have you ever done that? We might as well say amen or oh me, one of the two, because we've done it. But see, it's one of the things we want to learn to live out of the inner man, that man on the inside, the real me. The real me, which is created like God, hallelujah, in His likeness. I want that likeness to dominate this outer man. Why? Because if this outer man dominates, there's loads of things that will be totally impossible forever for me to believe for or ever come to fruition. It'll never work. It'll never happen. It's bringing the outer man under and letting the inner man dominate. It's doing that. Listen what goes on to say. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I mean, that's a simple statement. Now, folks, there's no use getting upset about these things or thinking, oh, poor old me. This has been the Bible written for thousands of years, folks. This shouldn't be a new subject. I've read this thing so many times. I remember I read it at times. I put it away because I didn't realize it. You ever been there? Say, Lord, that speaks to me too much today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now listen what he says. Now this is talking about the real you. But you, this is speaking to the inner man. You, the real you, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed Christ, the Spirit of God, dwells in you. See, you're in the Spirit. You're hooked up with the Spirit of God. You are. There's no reason we have to let the flesh dominate. There's no reason we have to. We can have the mind of the Spirit. Why? You're born again. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You can be in communion with God. You can take, you know, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. It don't tell you to get it. You already got it. The Holy Ghost is the mind of God. He's already in you, and He'll teach you whatever you need to know and whatever you need to understand. He will teach you. If you live out of the inner man, you have the full knowledge of all that God is or ever was or would be. It's already in you. What does the flesh have to offer? What's the flesh after when it comes to wisdom? What on earth is the flesh going to give you? What's the flesh going to say? Other than something stupid. Something will get you in trouble. Something will do something dumb just so it'll feel good. For temper. Did you ever notice? It's always temporary. Do you know, that's one thing. Like, say, I was a drunk and a druggie. You could never take enough drugs. Never get enough drugs. You didn't take drugs one time and felt great forever. No, you just had to keep doing it. And what's the wonderful thing about the flesh? The flesh, you always had to take more and more and more and more to get the same feeling. That's the way sin is. You can't go out and sin. You can't commit adultery a little bit. You'll be going back for the second dip, the third dip, the fourth dip, the fifth dip. It'll just keep, you can never get enough. You start stealing, you want to steal more and more. That's just the work of the flesh. This is how the flesh is, dead in sin. Why? The flesh never gets enough of its pleasure. It'll never do it. You can get enough from God. You can have peace, the Bible says, it passes all understanding, guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know what will guard your heart and mind? It didn't say guard your flesh. It said it'll guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Woo, that's where you want to live. That's the place you want to go. Hallelujah. You want to live in that place, under that place where you're guarded. Hallelujah. That's the life of God that's in you, that's dominating you, that's ruling you. That's that law of life that's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't get no better than that. He says, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So we see this here, and we're going to go on and say, you are in the Spirit. See, start talking about, I'm in the Spirit. See, that's why I say you're, I'm a Spirit man. That's who I am. I'm a Spirit man. I'm created in the likeness and image of God. I'm a Spirit person. That's what I was created. That's how God made me. That's how He made man in the beginning, and I got born again. I'm just like that. I'm a Spirit person. I'm not somebody, you know, I'm not a, get this out of you. See, I was taught, and they did this all the time. As I was a kid growing up, they taught us false religion in the church. They taught that Jesus just cleaned up sinners. He took the blood and washed us up. No, He didn't. That's a lie. Even the Old Testament told us what was going to happen. God was going to put a new heart in you and a new spirit. I got born again. I got a new spirit in me. I don't have the old spirit. I didn't get cleaned up. I'm not the same person. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm not a cleaned up spirit guy. The Bible tells me that the old man is dead. My old spirit nature is dead. It's gone. When I got, that's what changed. If you don't get born again, see, all we ever taught of Jesus forgives your sin and He washes you up. And that, you know what? People don't get born again believing that. You can't get born again and believe in that. That ain't true. That's a lie. That's the devil's lie for religion. You need to be born again. You pass from death unto life. That's what happened. I didn't get my old man washed up. I got a brand new one. Glory to God. My inner man is created in the likeness and image of God. He don't have any nature of sin in him whatsoever. That nature's dead. I have a completely new nature. My nature is to follow truth. That's my nature. My nature is not to follow my flesh. My nature. Because if I try to follow my flesh, my nature criticizes me. My nature says that ain't right. My nature says don't do that. Why? Because that's my nature. My nature is righteousness. My nature is holiness. That's what yours is. That's our nature. We got born again. If you just got cleaned up, you'll be back to sin. If you got the same old spirit in you, you're back to sin. That's exactly what you'll do. That's why so many people, they come religiously to Christ, and before you know it, they're back out living like hell again. Why? They never got their nature changed. They were told they just God forgive you and washed you up, forgave you of your sin. Why? Everybody out here, we walk through this whole city. There's not one person. God hasn't forgiven them their sin. There's not a one out here. Paul said we're supposed to tell people God's not holding sin against them. The church says, yes, He is. You got to ask him to forgive you to get saved. Why? He ain't going back to the cross to forgive any of his sin. He didn't have to. What Ed needed to do, as many as receive him, who? Jesus Christ. Who? They're the ones that become the Son of God. Those who believe on his name, not the ones who asked him, forgive them. Does it say that? They always talk about the Roman road to Christ, and that's as the church says it, and then never practices it. They practice their sin. They get it out, and what they do? Well, you want to get saved? The first thing they do is throw sin in your face. Dear Lord, I knew I was a scumbag. You didn't have to throw sin in my face. I knew I was a scumbag. I needed to be changed. Hallelujah. I didn't need to become a better me. I needed a new me. Every time I tried to make a better me, it got worse. You know, always I need. I was going to change. I was going to change. Sometimes I worked 15 minutes. You know, that's right. I did. You know, I'm not going to drink today, at least till after this one. And as soon as I had that one, we definitely need another one. No, we're not going to do drugs anymore. No, we're not going to do that, at least till this evening. When my friend comes over, he got some good stuff. We can't let it go to waste. Isn't that a wonderful life? You may think, sit there and think that's bad. That's the way many Christians live in the same way. That's with their flesh. They can't quit anything with their flesh because they keep trying to work on their flesh instead of operating out of the spirit man to subdue the flesh. You have to do that. There's only one way that I know how to subdue the flesh. And the only way I know how to do that is to do spiritual things. This is one of the things. And I just want to say this to you. You got to learn to do this. If you're born again and you're spirit filled, you need to spend time praying in other tongues. And if you ain't doing it, your flesh is going to dominate you. It's going to rule you. It is. I'm just telling you, it's going to. The flesh is going to dominate. I don't know any other way. Now, we get the word in us, and we want to get the word in us. But see, one thing, praying in other tongues is a spiritual thing. It activates your spirit. You need to learn to do that. You learn to get over and activate your spirit. See, what did Jude say? Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. That's what you're doing. You're praying over in the Spirit, letting the Spirit speak mysteries through you to God. You go over there and do that. Just like I said, when Jesus told the disciples, he said, pray lest you fall into temptation. In other words, with temptation of what? The flesh. What did they do? They fell into temptation. He said, pray so you don't have it happen. Jesus was out there praying in the garden because his flesh didn't want to go to the cross. And he stayed there till his flesh wasn't dominating him anymore. You're going to have to get into God's presence till you get where your flesh don't dominate you in areas. There's areas, there's things that one of the things that I've been doing a lot of times, praying in the flesh, because there's things that have dominated me, and people wouldn't consider it's bad sin, but it dominates me and keeps me out of certain areas of the spirit because it's where my flesh can dominate, and I refuse to let it do that. So I'm going to have to do what I have to do in the realm of the spirit and not do other things in the natural that people say, well, this needs to be done. I'm sorry. My number one agenda is to get Ed under submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. Is getting Ed under submission to Jesus Christ. That's number one on the agenda. I got to do that. I got to get him. There's things that I got it. Why? Because of other people. You know, the Lord spoke to me on Friday morning. I woke up early about 4:00 in the morning, and I was doing some praying and I was praying, but anyhow, it came up in me, and it has just been on me ever since. It kept coming up. Pray till the light shines out of darkness. Pray till the light shines out of darkness. And boy, it just all morning I was praying. I spent hours in prayer, and that just rolled over me. Pray till the light shines out of darkness. And I got over it yesterday, spending time in prayer, and that's all just kept rolling over me. Pray till the light shines out of darkness. What does the light shine through? People! Christians! The glory of God's revealed through people. The glory of God was revealed in the earth through Jesus Christ. And the glory of God is going to be revealed through us. We're the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. And he said, pray, what? Till the glory shines through the darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, this is the God that commanded light to shine from the darkness to shine through the darkness. It's God. Hallelujah. And he said, pray. Why? Because we want that light to shine through. We want it to shine through. Hallelujah. We need light in this land. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to take pressuring in and pushing in with prayer and things. It's going to take that. It's getting away from physical things, getting in there. You know, you have to find out. You're going to have to do this. It's the things that you're battling with. You need to take time to sit down out of the Word and get scriptures and sit every day. There's a war going on. You're not going to fix your flesh every once in a coming here and sit and listen to me teach an hour and then spend the rest of the week. You're not into the Word and you're not into it. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to nothing happen to you. Don't expect anything to happen. And how it works. You have to get your mind changed. See, I can preach things and say things here to bring on to you, but you're going to have to act on it and do it. You have to do that. I can't do that for you. It won't work. It won't work. I have to do it. See, I can't get you guys here. You know, I need to just call you guys pray for me. Well, that's fine. You pray for me, but if I don't do any prayer, a lot of good that's going to do. Most people use prayer chains because of their laziness. Well, they ain't going to spend no time praying about it getting a change. Let's get somebody else to pray for it. Maybe we can get a prayer team to pray for the thing. Because I prayed 15 minutes about it, and I'm believing the Lord. Well, if you were really believing the Lord, you'd never call the prayer team. Woo! Oh, my God. Somebody give that man a drink. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. But we need to walk in the light, folks. And I just encourage you, take the time. And I'm telling you this. I wrote today in the bulletin, you know, about this year. We're coming down the end. This year is a very critical thing this year of moving into some things of the Spirit. We have a little over 2 months. And there's things that you're going to have to move into. And there's no other way to move into it than through prayer. You ain't going to just do the word, sit down, study the word. That's part of. But you're going to spend time in prayer. You're going to have to get over in the Spirit where you get to hear God speak to you. See, God's talking to me about me. He's talked to me about me this morning driving in here. Gave me a little bit of revelation. I think, you know, he talked to me this about this years ago. And I just sort of let that slip by. I didn't take it for what it really meant. See, here he has to explain it to me today. And I think, dear Lord, I could already been walking in that. But when he spoke about it, I didn't take time to pray about it to find out what he was really saying, you know. That's time God speaks to us, and we don't take the time to find out what it was he said. Many times we sit in meetings, and God gives us a revelation. We go home until next week. We forget the revelation. We ain't spend no time to pray about that. We didn't go over and listen to it again and in there. You know, I've met people over the years, and they say, oh, man, that was really a good sermon. I don't embarrass them and ask them next week, because if I did, if I asked them next week, they couldn't remember what was preached. You ask Wanda. I mean, I'm Mr. Repetitious. I just go over and over and over. I get out, you know, it's like me. I don't have, you know, I'm not dealing with health problems, but I've been over in the things of healing. And I just listen. I have series of tapes that I have on healings. Brother Hagin has. I'll tell you what, I have some series of him on healing. It would skin you to listen to him. And I'll guarantee you, it would skin you to listen to them. But I listen to it because I need a skinning. Hallelujah. I listen to him because keeping me in line is number one. See, you got to do this. Most people, as I've said this before, they don't ever think or ever study anything about healing until they get sick. And they're always working behind, and then they go months and months and months and months and months and months and months, never getting over anything. And then finally, you know, trying to work through things. And, you know, then they want to get real religious now. Let's get religious now. No, you take time. I've always figured, I listened to Kenneth Hagin. He said how he listened every day he would meditate on some healing scriptures. He'd always read and meditate on some healing scriptures every day. And I thought, God, if he needed to, surely Ed really needs to. Hallelujah. See, you got to get over. You do that. See, we're inclined to do things. We always want to do. The flesh wants to do something that makes it feel good, you know, instead of going over and doing something that's spiritual. You know, we're going to talk to a God that ain't seen. Well, my friend, I can call them on the phone and I can talk to them. See, and I can hear them, and I don't have to sit and try to listen to pick up to what they're saying. I can just, or I can just call and ask this person to give me the information I need. Ask them if, you know, if they know the scripture, or they know a good book that I could read. Instead of, God, what do I need? See, we do most of our spiritual hunting, we do in the natural, and never get what we need. You know how I get my sermons? God tells me what to preach. I pray till He talks to me about what I'm supposed to do. See, I could have turned around and gotten my notes. I got all these notes on gifts of the Spirit. I could have just got them out. But that isn't what He wanted to teach. He said the gifts ain't going to operate till people get spiritual. And all week, it's just been rolling over me. Over Romans, the 8th chapter. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Go over that. You go to Romans, the 8th chapter. That's what you need. That's what you need to do. Say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So this is where we're going to go. Say, but see, God knows what we need and what needs to be done. Because the church has declined from spirituality. It hasn't been going up. It went back. People years ago walked in this. They walked in this. It was the common among the Spirit-filled people. It's not anymore. And we know it doesn't because of the difficulty that people are having with things of the Spirit. So we know it. You see, I pray and God chose me where I walked in something. And He said, you don't work in that anymore. You're not doing that anymore. So you're not all right. So yes, sir, you're exactly right. So I guarantee you, if you start praying and seeking God, you're going to hear things you didn't want to hear. But I want to tell you what, those things is what you need to hear because it's going to change your life. See, people all the time say they want to hear God talk to them. They want to hear God to you. He ain't Mr. Fluff Preacher on TV. That's trying to get a check out of you. He might tell you what you're really like. It's like, oh my God. But this is what I've learned to do. If He shows me wrong, say, yes, I must be wrong. He'd never lie to me. He would never lie about a thing. God is only interested in my best interest, never His. He's a God of love. He don't do it for His sake. He does it because He loves me. He wants to bless me. He's never telling me because He wants to take something from me. He tells me because He wants to bring more to me. That's why He does it. And He's going to do it. And He said this. He got there and talked to me, and I got over praying the Holy Ghost. And He said this, I'm going to make you rich. See, it's nice to hear from God. I already knew it was in the word, but I'm going to tell you what, it was nice to hear it from Him. See, you get over following God, there's a lot of things you'll quit praying about. You don't even have to even ask about. He'll want to just go do it for you because you're hooked up in His business. Most of the church world is always trying to get stuff from God because they're not in His business. They're in their own business. Getting their own things. I found this out. You start doing His stuff, and I'll tell you what, He has a big checkbook. And He gets it out and starts writing checks. And that's what you want. He starts writing out blessing checks. He starts sending things out. Because why? Because you're fulfilling. It's like any good master. He loves His servants when they're doing His will. Not when you're doing your will. When you're doing His will. Hallelujah. So there's lots of things He will just do for you because you're doing the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? The servant don't have to take care of himself. His master does it. Woo! That's a place of faith we need to walk in. That's a place of faith that the majority, that 99.9% of the church never walks in. That place where the master takes care of the servant. And the servant is 100% relied on the master. Well, I want to go there where I can be 100% His and none of me, all Him. Don't you want to go there? Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. That's where we want to go. That's what we're working for. Hallelujah. I want to be John the Baptist. Less of me and more of Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've seen a lot of me. Got tired of looking at a lot of me too. Hallelujah. Me wasn't working out so well. But hallelujah. Glory to God. And you can get over there. You know, you can sit today and feel sorry for yourself. You say, yeah, God, I missed it. Repent. You know, He'll forget about you being dumb. Isn't that wonderful? I just think, my God. You can start off on a clean slate as if you did nothing wrong. Can you imagine? Say, Lord, I've been spending the time, I know you've been praying like I'm supposed to, I didn't do this. Say, Lord God, I confess it. Yeah, Lord, I blew it. And then you go back and say, Lord, you know I wasn't praying. And he'll say, what? I don't remember that. Clean slate. Do you ever think about it? I mean, anytime we can have a clean slate. We can always start over. Now, there'll be a day come when no one can start over again. We'll be at the end of things. Well, you can still start over. Take advantage of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you missed it, don't whine about it. Don't say, oh man, I'll tell you what, I got my toes stepped on. Don't go into that nonsense. Stop and say, dear Lord, I heard the truth and the truth makes me free. Glory to God. I heard what's true. Glory to God. I take it out to the woodshed and I come out full of glory. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! That's what's in the woodshed of my God. Hallelujah. He takes you in and gives you something, sends you out. Hallelujah. That's our God. He don't take you in there to kill you. Dear Lord. We're just too busy killing ourselves. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let him take you to that place and show you. And then just repent. Say, yes, Lord, I missed it. Glory to God. Now I'm going to walk in what's right. Hallelujah. Say, no, Lord, I can't. Now, number one, you can't walk in right by your flesh. You're going to have to get over in the areas of spirit. This is where you get over. God, I need your help. And needing God's help, you need to find out the things in the Word to tell you. Lord, teach me what I need to teach. Lord, show me what I really need to know. You know, I don't do very much Bible study on my own. I listen in my spirit things, and God will lead me to things to read about and things. And I get over and read these and thinking, you know, this is actually what I've been needing. You know, this is good. I got over into the other day, it was a chapter in the Bible, and I just got over the thing, I read the first verses, it got down, I thought, my words, I really need to hear this. This is what I really needed to hear. And he knew that. That's what I really needed to hear. I needed to know that. I see it's listening. This is what I'm learning to listen on the inside. Hallelujah. Listen on the inside and the Holy Ghost shows you what you need. Oh, how wonderful that is. We aren't out here. Too many Christians, they're just dart throwers. That's all. They got a dart board and they're just throwing darts, trying to get some points. That's all it is. Their prayer life's like that. Throwing, hope they hit something, and, you know, or they've got a bingo card, you know, and maybe I'll hit the right ones and ding, bingo! I got a prize! Yeah, boy, wasn't I lucky. That's not what we're doing, folks. Hallelujah. Jesus wants you to hit the mark every time. He wants you to hit the mark. He'll help you. He'll help you hit the mark. Hallelujah. Don't get in condemnation because, you know, that you're not as brilliant as Jesus. You got to watch. That's one of the things that Paul talked about, measuring ourselves against others. It's one of the things you have to watch. And now, when they say that, now, people usually take that and they've taught it carnally. You'll end up measuring yourself against others if you live on the carnal side and you take it carnally. You will. It's number one, you can't help but measure yourself wrongly if you don't know where you are spiritually. See, I have to know. You know, when a spiritual baby, God had to deal with me years ago about that. As a spiritual baby, I was measuring myself against maturity. And God had to deal with me with that because I had to see where I really was. And I learned over the years not to measure myself against somebody who's more mature and understands things more than I do. Now, that doesn't mean I can't develop to where they're at, but I learned to have to measure myself because if you don't do that right, you will measure yourself improperly. It's like I said, there are Christians who think they're mature, they're big babies. And they think they're a mature Christian. They think because they were born again for 20 years, 30 years, 40, they've been born again for a long time. That don't make you mature at all. Biggest babies I've ever met in any church have always been people who have been in Christians for years. Are usually the biggest babies. It has nothing to do with length of time. Didn't you ever notice that in the natural? Don't you run into people been on this earth 70 years and are idiots? They never matured. They never develop. See, maturity and development naturally doesn't come just because you live a long time in the earth. Well, being a Christian, it ain't no difference. It's not any difference. Being something a long time don't make you mature. I was a Christian for 2.5 years, and God put me in a church and told me to teach the adult Sunday school class. I said, Lord. See, I looked at myself. But you know, I understood then what happened. You know, I wasn't very spiritually mature, but my God, I was like a 3-year-old teaching ones who were about like 10 months. I didn't realize that what was going on, because I said, Lord, I said, I shouldn't be teaching. I need to be taught. These people have been around longer than me. Yeah, but they were nothing but a bunch of big babies. Some of them had been Christians for 40 years and still just immature big babies. And they were deacons in the church. They were the deacons. And then I found out that the pastor didn't know half the things that I had learned. And I thought, what is going on here? God sent me there and said, I'm supposed to go and help these people. I said, Lord, I need help. Give me help, Lord. What about me? What about me? Hallelujah. But see, you're in it. See what doesn't. There's all kind of, I see that in Christianity. Many times I see people come in the kingdom, and over a short period of time, they're way ahead spiritually over people who've been around for years. Because people think they've been around for years, they've got in and they're doing nothing but skating along. That's all they do. They're just Christian roller skaters. All they do is skate along and just coasting around here and there and coasting here and there, never doing nothing and not developing spiritually. So you have to do things to develop spiritually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't skate. Get your running shoes on, folks. Get the wheels off your feet. Hallelujah. We need to run a few hills. No good runners are made running in a flat land. Flat land runners ain't good runners. Never will be. The hill runners will be the good running. See, I learned when you train, you want to run fast, I'd go out and practice and run in hills. And boy, you get on the flat lands, you could outrun everybody. See, and spiritually, it's the same thing. You use your faith out in the hills, man. You get stuff it's tough to get to, and you keep doing it. And you keep going after it. And after a while, it's just the same as it is in the natural. You learn to sit. Boy, at first, I started off in faith, and I could hardly breathe. I'm going to tell you what, it just seemed to be a struggle to try to get a hold. But I kept pushing when people said, no, you're out there too far. And I said, no, we ain't got out there far enough yet. And I just kept pushing and pushing to get out there and got out there and get out there to grab it. Till after a while, I could run those things and no problem at all. But most people, they just want to believe to get by to where they are and stay the way they are and just believe when I get a little problem, let's just get that fixed, but I'm just going to stay the same. But I'm going to just keep living the same life. But I just want to... No, I'm going to tell you what. They're going to find them along the road somewhere. They'll find them along the road one day. They done wore out. They're laid out there. And they're not going to be able to do it. Great faith is built through great trials. If you don't have a great trial, make one. You can do it. Believe for something that's outside of what your ordinary thing. And don't do anything about changing it till your faith brings it in. Try that. I've learned to do that. That's where I learned about faith. I didn't wait for a trial to come. I made some trials. I put things out. I wanted certain things. I sat out there and I thought, I could go do. Right now there's certain things that I could go do and I am not going to do it. I ain't going to take my money and do it. People say, well, you know, use your... No. God's tickled. I'm using my faith. He's excited about it. Lord, I'm going to believe you. You're going to, that's what you, I got that from you, and I ain't going to do a thing about it. You're going to bring that thing. That thing's coming to me. It's mine. So you get over there and do that. Folks, you realize how important that is to do those things. Because when you come up against trials in life, it won't be nothing for you after a while. There's loads of things that it won't be a push or a shove. Man, you'll just be like, my God, we'll put on the shoes. I can run this one, no sweat. This hill? Ha ha! I run many of these things. We'll just run this one again. Hallelujah. We're going over this. That's what I always do. I get out and say, Lord, you know, this came up and this is what happened the last time and this happened before with this and this. Man, I'm going to run this one. Woo! We're going to do this one. We'll just add another chalk. We're going to chalk another one up on the road. I'm going to put another notch on my gun. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to do this one. We're going to shoot the devil in the foot and outrun him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord God, where would we be without you? Lord God, none of us have arrived or any place. And Lord God, no matter where we walk, we didn't get there on our own. You took us there. You anointed us. That's what you do. Lord, you give us ability. You said if we come, Lord God, to you, if we miss the mark, there's mercy. But you said there's grace to help. I want to thank you, Lord God. Your grace is your ability. And that ability. And Lord God, you said there's ability to help in time of need. Surely we got need. We have need for your ability. Lord God, forgive us for walking in our ability and following just our abilities and things. Forgive us, Lord God. We've done those things along the way, and still you've been kind to us. You've been so good to us. Hallelujah. But Lord God, Lord, our great desire is to go to something further and something greater. Lord God, there's anointings that are much greater that we need to walk in. Lord God, not for ourselves, but for others, Lord God. Lord, in this day and time, Lord, we have a nation that's on its road to hell. And Lord God, we're not going to let that happen. We're not, Lord God, there will be a revival in this land. There will be glory poured out. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord God, we're going to walk in that glory. We're going to live in that place of glory that's going to change people's lives. We're going to walk in this place, Lord God. Hallelujah. That you designed us for. You designed us for glory. Hallelujah. Lord God, all the glory that's in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord God, that same glory, hallelujah, can be in the face of the church. Hallelujah. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you for that great glory. Lord, the glory. Oh, Lord God, there was a temporal and a partial glory that was on Moses. But Lord God, there's a glory for the church in this age and time that's going to be above all the glory that's been poured out in the ages before. Far beyond, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For Lord God, Lord, demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost 100 times greater than they've ever been before in the face of the earth, Lord God. Hallelujah. People walking in glory. Lord God, as the prophet said that, Lord God, ones will be walking and people will come up. The glory shining on them, Lord God. Lord, people will fall on their knees and accept Jesus Christ, hallelujah, because of the glory. And people will say, I don't know why I did that. Lord God, you said there's going to be a glory. Lord God, Lord, you said that there's going to be people that are going to do miracles in front of leaders in this nation. Miracles in front of leaders of this nation. And Lord God, you said that just like when Philip was caught up in the Spirit after ministering, Lord God, to the Ethiopian and was caught up and found in another place, you said that that was going to become commonplace in these last days. Lord God, that they would literally see people on a television screen and they would disappear and they would show up in another place, Lord God, and be seen. Father, I want to thank you. Demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost, demonstrating the glory of God. And I want to thank you, Father God, those things taking place in the name of Jesus, the glory of God being poured out. Father, as Brother Hagin said, Lord God, that fire of God. And Lord God, I thank you for that fire. He said he saw that ball of fire coming to the earth and it broke up, Lord God, and that fire fell upon the heads and the hands of men. Hallelujah. Lord God, glory on their head and in their hands, Father God. Father, to carry out the glory of God in these last days. Father, it shall be as it was said. Hallelujah. Father, we're in the days of fire right now, Lord God, and I thank you that fire is increasing more and more in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, we will walk in it. And Father God, I just want to thank you that what the prophet said was true, Lord God. Father, I want to thank you. Lord God, Lord, there's leaders, and you said that leaders in this last day, they're going to fall. Leaders are going to fall. And Lord God, there's leaders that need to fall. People who are standing in, they know they're doing evil. They know they're doing wrong. And their intents and purposes are not right. And Lord God, we expect people to be removed. Lord God, that your glory. Lord God, the innocent are being destroyed and hurt over the wicked leaders of this nation, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you. Father, you said that leaders would even fall dead. And I want to thank you. We had one this past week. And I thank you, Lord God, that there would be more, Lord God, who oppose what's right and true and good. Lord God, they will be removed. The prophet said it would happen and he said we would rejoice. And Lord God, I'm glad. Hallelujah. I'm glad, Lord God, that the evil has been stayed. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, that the glory of God will be revealed. Lord God, there's many men want to be saved. And Lord God, we have leaders that are doing everything they can to drive people into hell. But Father God, I want to thank you. There's a church of Jesus Christ. There's a remnant that has risen up to that glory. And there's a remnant that is standing up in this day and time and saying, no, no, it shall not be, for the glory shall be upon the church. Hallelujah. And the church will reveal the glory in this nation. And demonstrations, manifestations of the signs and wonders shall come forth. And America again will visit nations, hallelujah. And nations will be turned, hallelujah, because of the glory that will come out from among us. And I thank you, Father God, for using us again, Lord God, letting us step back into that place, Lord God, that you called us to. Hallelujah. That place of glory to carry your glorious word to see, Lord God, a harvest among the nations. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I stand and I pray for the President of the United States, Lord God. You're the one that put him in office. We know men didn't. Men said it was impossible. He couldn't do it. They made fun of him. But hallelujah, he had a God behind him and all they had was men. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord God, I'm not going to judge him about what he does. Lord God, I feel so sorry for the Christian who does. Lord God, Lord, you put him in for a plan and a purpose. And I thank you, Lord God, you're the one that can make him stand and he'll stand. And Father, Father, I expect you to give him supernatural ability, Lord God, that the things that men say and do falls off of him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that he stands. Father, I send angels out, the ministering spirit, to surround him and a camp about him and the vice president, Lord God, in protection, Lord God, around them. And Lord God, bringing comfort and security to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you that wisdom comes to them, Lord God. Father, that they know what to do, what to carry out. I thank you they're not moved by men, but they're moved by the Holy Ghost. You're the one that sets them men up and use your leaders and takes them down. And I thank you, you set these men up and I thank you for them and their position. Devil, in the name of Jesus, get your hands off the presidential office of the United States of America. I command you to cease and desist in your actions against the president in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you that he's going to carry out your plans. He's going to carry out your purposes, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you he'll have victory. I thank you, Lord God, for his election again. Hallelujah. Lord God, make them evil people eat it. Hallelujah, Lord God, in their nonsense and their craziness. Lord God, their insanity. And I thank you. Lord God, I believe you have brought insanity among them. Lord God, now they're starting to turn on each other. Sounds like the gifts of God in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. They turn on one another and wipe each other out. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Lord God, the things that they do in darkness, you bring it to light in the name of Jesus. You said in your word that the darkness will be brought to light. Lord God, we expect the evil that they're doing behind people's backs will be brought forward and they will be shown for the iniquity that they are doing in the name of Jesus. And Father, in the church world, I pray for that in the church world. Lord, there's much darkness. And I pray in the name of Jesus that darkness be brought to light, Lord God, shining forward that people will know and see the wickedness of leaders who have done many things, of opening the door to so much of the flesh. And Lord God, that they will be seen for that iniquity. Lord, because your desire is to bring a people out. Hallelujah. Bring a people out in this day and this time. And Lord God, you will bring a people out in your glory and bring them forth in these last days and hours. There's going to be a turning around by the fire of God. The fire of God will turn many hearts back to him again. Lord God, you said so. So it will be as even it was said to me. Hallelujah. It will be so in the name of Jesus that many's hearts will be turned back again because of the fire of God in these days and times. And we thank you for that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just thank you. Lord God, I look to wonderful things, as glorious things. Hallelujah. Lord God, that you're carrying out and doing. And Lord God, Lord, we expect you to do more wonderful things than you have done. Hallelujah. Lord God, we crave the anointing. Lord God, we want to have your anointing on us. And when we speak, Lord, that we're just not men speaking. We're speaking by the Spirit of God. We're speaking by the anointing of God. Lord God, Lord, you're moving us into place. You're setting us into place. You told me you would. You'd put us into place. And that's what you're doing through these things. You're setting us in place, Lord God. Lord God, you're raising up champions. Hallelujah. You're raising up people in the kingdom, Lord God, that can run a race. Hallelujah. Lord God, and Lord God, people with stamina. Hallelujah. Lord God, people with spiritual stamina, Lord God, that can keep pace with the plan and the move of God in these days and times. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Thank you for taking the time to train us. Thank you for taking the time to work in us. Hallelujah. Lord God, because you're taking us from glory to glory. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And it's going to be exactly as it says in the scriptures. It will be so that my people will come out in this day and time, and there shall shall walk in a glory that has not been seen before. But even as has been prophesied back in years past concerning the glory that took place in Azusa Street, for that glory shall be minor to what is going taking place in this yard. For I've called a church out in that glory, and you are part of that church. You are part of my will and my plan. For I have designated you for this day and hour. So come out into that designation. Walk out under it and say, yes, Lord, that's me. That's me. I'm one called by you to step out in this time. Take that place of faith. Don't wait and wait and see, well, maybe, Lord, if I can just change. No, you will be changed when you step out and take your place. Step out, and says the Lord, and speak forth in my name, and call yourself one in this hour as one who will carry the glory of God and one who will walk in that place. Yes, and stand in that place, and you will see yourself, and you will fulfill my plans and purposes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.